Morning. Our scripture readings, all during this cycle for Lent, are tracing the history of God's covenant with the people. 2 weeks ago, we heard about the promise of a covenant with Noah, a covenant that was for all creation. Last week, we heard about a covenant with Abraham, promising him in descendants as multitudinous as the stars in the heavens. Today we focus on the establishment of the covenant at Sinai. The reading is about the Ten Commandments, and that can be slightly misleading, just especially because mostly we all know about that whole process from Cecil B. DeMille, and he called the movie The Ten Commandments, so we think that's what it's about. And it's not. I mean, yeah, it did happen. God gave us the Ten Commandments at Sinai, but that's not what Sinai is about. Those of you who are married will understand this analogy. The rest of us can guess at it. When you get married, you take on a whole bunch of new restrictions. You can't date all those other people anymore. Your time isn't your own. Your money isn't your own. You have to go back and forth with your spouse to make even the simplest of decisions. It's a whole bunch of new restrictions on your lifestyle. And if that's what you're thinking about the morning of your wedding, you should get up and leave first. You know? That's true, but it's not what's important. What's important is the covenant that you're establishing. You shall be my husband. You shall be my wife. This relationship is what's important. The behavioral changes are consequential, not insubstantial, but they're not the point of it. The same way at Sinai. The commandments are not what it's about. God didn't bring people out of Egypt in order to write law. God brought people out of Egypt in order to make a people God's own people. The important words spoken at Sinai are not thou shalt and thou shalt not. The important words at Sinai are, you shall be my people, you shall be my God. This relationship, this absolutely unbreakable relationship that is established between God and the people. We see that in the banner here. Imagine it the other way around. Because it's a long, narrow banner, they have to turn the yoke sideways. Flip that out in your mind, see the yoke. Like two oxen pulling a cart or a plow, yoked together, working side by side, pursuing a common aim together. That's what husband and wife do. That's what God and God's people do. You shall be my people. You shall be my God. Now, because I'm your God, there's some things I need to do for you. I'm going to lead you into the promised land. I'm going to move some Canaanites out of the way, make you some space, give you the land flowing with milk and honey, so forth and so on. Because you're my people, here's what I'm going to give you. Here are these rules for living. Try them. You'll like them. Ten Commandments. One of the great rabbis, and I must admit that my knowledge of rabbinics is so limited that I couldn't find it when I went back to look. I don't know which rabbi originally said it. But one of the great early rabbis said, the Torah, the Ten Commandments and essential stuff around it, the Torah is God's wedding gift to Israel. It's not the cause of the union. It's not the condition of the union. Because you have given me, promised to obey all these commandments, I will take you as my people. Quite the contrary. It's God's wedding gift. Because we have entered into this covenant together, here is what I will give you, these Ten Commandments. That's a whole different way of thinking about it. He puts the emphasis where it belongs, on our unbreakable relationship with God, which is now extended to us in the New Covenant. New Covenant is a much better translation of what's frequently called New Testament. New Testament. It's one of the worst translations in the American language. I mean, name the only three phrases in American that use the word Testament. Old Testament, New Testament, and Last Will and Testament. So what does this mean? God died and left me these two books? Much better translation of Diatheke Kaine is New Covenant. But it's really only new in a Madison Avenue sense, revised and improved. Now the revisions are not without importance, especially for me, because the Old Covenant was for the daughters and sons of Abraham and Sarah. And since I have no known Jewish ancestors, I was jolly well out in the cold. The fact that in Jesus that covenant is expanded to include all the rest of us, for us that's important. But it's the same old covenant. You shall be my people, you shall be my God. We are yoked together. We go through life together. God's promises to us are absolute and are irrevocable. That's the wonderful point of the whole covenant, that it is irrevocable. There is no divorce when it comes to God. That's why the anti-Semites are so self-damning. They say that God repudiated the covenant with Israel. Well, if God repudiated the covenant with Israel, what does that say for God's covenant with you? But if God's covenant with Israel stands firm forever, as Paul says in the letter to the Romans, then God's expansion of that covenant to us stands firm forever. And we can trust in the Lord who will be with us no matter what. Think of the commandments as much as they do constrain our behavior and force us to grow in the right way. Not as a burden, but as God's wedding gift, the sign of the covenant that will never end. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.